It's Shaquille, and I'm back with another session. It's been a quite some time, cousin, so I just wanted to give a quick update. Where has Shaq been? One word, lifing. Man, it has been lifing out here for me. I definitely just want to say that thank you so much for the continued support. You know, the winter was definitely something, it was depressing, honestly, just plain put, you know, losing a loved one, then turn around with this, you know, losing this election. And then we go into kind of like the holiday seasons and just the new year, like all of that stuff. It's been tough. So, you know, as summer emerges, I feel like I have emerged a little bit more, kind of gotten out of that depression state. Big announcements are coming though. You know, season two is a well upon us. Will and I have recorded the first official episode. A few slight changes to the pod. So I'm very excited about that. So definitely not giving up on anything. It's just that, you know, that fight for consistency is amongst us all. With dealing with real life issues, dealing with, you know, the state of the world. And, you know, you have to take care of yourself mentally. So that's kind of what I've been doing. Unfortunately, I'm so sorry I haven't been able to make another session, but we're working. We're you know, I'm not perfect, so I'm working at it. But I definitely miss kind of coming on the mic, just speaking. I think me and Will's first episode, I think you guys are going to enjoy it. It's funny. I've missed him as well. We've missed each other just kind of getting in front of the mics, getting in front of the cameras and just talking, doing what we normally do. So let's get into a few things, right? So first thing I wanted to address is the kind of like the state of the world, some grievances that I have with that. And then moving on to, of course, Beyonce, because she's back. We are living in unprecedented times. And with unprecedented times comes with adjustments. It comes with understanding. It comes with, you know, keeping your faith strong. But faith without work is dead. And I have said that, and that's kind of been my mantra for a long time. A very spiritual person over a religious person, very, very spiritual. And I just feel like, honestly, we are living in these times where you have to make a decision to understand what's important in your life. I think a lot of us are getting into that, kind of like looking at things as deeming as an importance, you know, and depending on how old you are, but it's across the board, right? I'm about to be 34 this year. So a lot of things from my perspective has changed as far as what is important to me. And what is important to me right now is just understanding that, how do you live? What is the balance of, you know, understanding your place in the world and actually enjoying it, right? And so as we are in this new administration where a lot of the things that we have worked hard for up to this point, our parents, our grandparents have worked hard for to this point, we're kind of seeing all of these promises, you know, these securities kind of fall from under us a little bit, you know. There's been attacks on people's 401ks, people's livelihoods, people's retirements, people's, you know, way of life, you know, their jobs. And it's just kind of sad to see. And what I've kind of had it like this grievance of mine with is people saying that, oh, people got what they voted for. This is not my fight. And particularly this is us Black people have been saying this, and I've been seeing this all online under anything that's related to, you know, an executive order or, you know, the bullshit that has been going on in administration. And what I have to say to that is I understand, first of all, how people are tired, how especially us. I'm going to just say us first. I'm speaking on Black people, but this affects more than just Black people, right? To my Black people, I want them to understand the power that we have, right? We have always fought, okay? And to just give yourself a perspective, it's only been like less than 80 years since we've had access to our civil rights in this country, okay? Let that sink in. Less than 80 years, less than 100, less than 80, right? And so when you put that into perspective, when did we think that our fight or our continued fight stopped? Like, why do we feel like that stopped, right? I think we lost sight of a lot of things. We deem what we see on social media. Of course, we all know that's been a gift and a curse. But we're so easily distracted by flashy things. We're so easily distracted by mess and drama, especially when it's our own. So I just think that we just lose sight on a lot of things. And even more so for our kids, because they're supposed to be the future. And let me tell you, the way this administration is attacking everything, including the kids, it's just sad. You know, you look at our youth now, they're killing each other in the streets. They're walking around with AK in their fucking shorts. Don't even know how to use a fucking AK. I seen a video, this viral video, this boy was shooting a gun, dropped the fucking gun, and then picked it up by the barrel and then dropped it again. I'm like, nigga, little nigga, you don't supposed to be carrying this. Like, what are you doing? What are we doing? And who are you even shooting at that you need an AK? Like, it's just so much, right? So our youth, gun violence, drugs, all of those things, education, these are some of the most dumbest motherfuckers ever. Sorry if I'm offending anyone and their children, but I'm just saying, hey, I got brothers and sisters too, and guess what? I consistently have to tell them, use your common sense on a lot of stuff. Know what's important. But they're getting on up there in age. They're in their mid-20s, but we're talking about even the younger kids, right? And so it's just a lot of layers to this. And what people have to realize that our fight has never stopped. You know, this is where they want us to be, you know, distracted, feeling very oppressed, feeling like I just want to go through my day-to-day, you know, and that's okay because everybody is not meant to, you know, stand up in this fight. But there's a lot of things that we have access to that could just help those who are trying to, you know, spread the word or exercise their freedoms, right? So when you see people marching, don't sit up here and say, well, I'm staying my black ass at home and this, that, and the third, and, oh, they just want to get us out in the street to use martial law. Listen, our ancestors were water hose down, beat, dogs, sicked on them, tear gas, bomb, anything that you can think of, they went through that. Our ancestors weren't no bitch-ass people. You better listen to them. They got their ass out there and fought. So if your scary ass not going to do nothing or say nothing, don't shit on the people that's trying to do something. Don't shit on the people that is in tune or, you know, try to spread the word. Maybe they're not in the street, but maybe they're trying to spread the word. Maybe they're trying to organize people. Maybe they're trying to create resources available for people to understand what is going on and really do something about it. This is our right. This is our country too. This shit was built off the fucking backs of our labor. So for us to sit up here and say, oh, I'm tired of all this shit. No. I'd rather people not say shit at all than to say that. To say the discouraging thing. Because guess what? Other people look at us. Other people look at what our rhetoric is. And especially those in power. Because guess what? They've always looked at what we... Think about it. They've always looked at what we're saying as a community. How we feel about certain things. And they look forward to that to distract us. Right? They put all these these liquor stores and all this terrible ass food and all this shit in our communities for a reason. They do everything is by design. So we can't sit up here and just not forget our place in the world. We can't forget those things. And trust me, a lot of people are running away from America. Kudos to them. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But everybody's not able to do that, right? Just like everybody not able to stand up and fight. But my thing is, don't get online and spread your fear. Again, faith without work is dead. It's okay. We know that at the end of the day, God has the final answer, right? But he didn't say you sit there and not do nothing. Okay? So I really want people to understand that. I want people to understand that you need to be more inclined of what's going on in the news cycle. I watch independent news all the time, which will be certain podcasts. I also watch corporate news as well. And for those who say I don't watch the news, again, that's being intellectually lazy. I feel like people need to understand what's going on so they can be able to critically think and actually understand how we got here. You know, I've always looked at, I can't stand Fox News, but sometimes I look at them just to see what they're talking about and how they're messaging to their dumbed down base. And it's, y'all, it's so crazy. Like, it's so crazy. So, and I know a lot of people who are, you know, politically inclined and understand what I'm saying, but there's a lot of people who don't, like I said, who don't watch the news. I encourage you to watch the local news. That's like 30 minutes of your day. Find a podcast that's speaking about what's going on and listen to what they have to say. And actually tune in every now and then to, you know, your corporate news, which will be a MSNBC, a Fox, a CNN, or BBC. You can tell what leans that they have on certain subjects, such as tariffs and all these other things that the Trump administration is doing. And you can really tell how Fox spins everything. Like, I really couldn't, honestly, y'all, I can't stomach like 5 minutes of Fox. It's just really, really bad. And so, you know, when people say they don't get into it, I understand that. I understand that because it's, you know, it's just mind-boggling that people will actually believe that. And they have a base of people, MAGA and everyone else, Republicans, that actually, you know, freebase Fox News. And so when people say that, and so for that reason, I can understand why people don't listen to, I mean, watch the news. But on the other hand, you know, people who are saying they don't watch it because they just don't understand it or it's just too much, don't run away from that. That's the reason why we'll look at and go into all the documents of, you know, this shit going on with Shannon Sharp, right? But we don't get into political stuff that affects us, that we're currently being affected by right now. Prices going up, healthcare going up, like everything is going up, right? But we don't get into that. So I just encourage everyone to do so. You know, exercise your intellect by looking at the news and kind of understanding what's going on. Also, read articles. Like, we have to, all of this stuff is being stripping away from us because they're counting on people to be dumb. They're counting on people not to want to explore to know the truth. If you look at that, look at how Trump continues to lie and a majority of people believe it. They have right now, from what I've heard from another podcast, that they are in certain red states are beginning to change the curriculum in schools where they are teaching the data points and basically trying to say the 2020 election was fraud, that it was stolen. We all know that's not true, but that is what they're teaching to kids. So imagine if they grow, and we already see the people that actually believe that shit and how they look and what their rhetoric is and how they vote and what they believe in. Just imagine if they start teaching that to kids at a young age. Imagine it, right? There's tons of Instagram accounts and, like I said, podcasts. I listen to the Midas Touch. I listen to Politics Girl, News Daily. All of those podcasters, they do a good job of keeping you up to date currently. And their messaging is basically aligns with what we know democracy to be, what we know facts to be. We listen to expertise and all of those things. So I encourage people to do more. And us as Black people, again, we kind of stop this rhetoric of we're not doing anything. We don't count on everyone to get out in the streets to march. We don't count on everyone to, you know, be politically inclined. But if you're not, don't say shit. Don't spread your fear. Don't sit up here and say that we're not doing this because you're speaking for yourself, love. You're not speaking for people like me who is going to continue to be self-aware, who's going to continue to live life, because this definitely, all of this doesn't stop the progression of your life. Time goes on. Things move forward. We still got to get out here and work and enjoy our life, which brings me into the summer is here approaching. I'm about to be outside. On a lighter note, like I said at the beginning, I'm kind of emerging from this winter depression that I was in. And Beyonce is back. So Beyonce kicked off the tour in LA. And y'all, let me tell you, last Monday, I've been doing like a side podcast with the Stephen Knight Show. So I kind of go in there and has been like a guest to the show. And they talk about topics and different relatable things that I'm speaking about politics and entertainment, etc. So definitely check out the Stephen Knight Show. But I had to tell them, y'all, I can't do it because it comes on every Monday. And Monday kicked off the Beyonce, the Cowboy Carter tour. So I told them, I was like, I can't do it. I'm about to be engulfed. Whew. Y'all, I'm slick still looking for another ticket. I ain't gonna hold you. Me, my mom, and Will are going on Monday, July 14th. And we have great seats. We have 100 level seats. And I definitely tried to get Club Hoedown tickets. I'm not gonna go through that ticket process. It was a fucking fool. But, you know, we kind of solidified on the 100 level, which I'm actually happy that we did, because from what I'm seeing, it's going to be the best view of not necessarily her, but also the stage, because there's so much going on this tour. One thing I can tell you about being a Beyonce stan for going on almost 20 years, honestly, which is crazy. That's crazy. I've been a stan for almost 20 years. That's crazy. One thing I can tell you is that these first shows, nothing but marks. What I mean by that is Beyonce is marking everything. You would think that she already know what she's doing, of course. But when you get out there on stage and actually have full production in a live show, anything and everything can go wrong, which I'll get into that in a minute. But you can tell that she's clearly like marking her cues, making notes of timing, you know, going and actually looking at the crowd too, to seeing what's getting them hype, what's not. You know, does it feel right? Does this song need to go here? So Beyonce is such a perfectionist at this shit when it comes to getting on the stage that, as a Hive member, you can already tell that these shows are kind of like marked. With that being said, she does such a good job of doing that, but still entertaining. So the set list, absolutely adore. One thing I think that I wasn't count on hearing was Why Don't You Love Me from the first show. I think that sent me over edge. Me and Marcus was watching it, and I was like so hyped. Speaking of watching it, so everybody was live, yo. That shit was crazy. So like, we honestly found a YouTube page that was like, I don't know what software or what this guy was using, but basically anyone that was going live in that stadium, he was going from live to live. So if I went live and then I decided to end my live, I'm watching him on YouTube, right? He would literally go outside this software, click on another profile, and they would be live in the stadium. So I end up seeing different angles, but needless to say, that shit was short-lived. That shit lasted about a good hour and a half, and I think YouTube or somebody got a hold of that, and they shut that down. So we end up going to another live where it was a janky angle, but still I still kind of got to see, you know, what the set list looked like and what overall the performance, the tour was going to look like. Miss Blue Ivy Carter. Unk is so proud, y'all. Unk is proud. Like, that is so crazy that we're witnessing the rise of Blue Ivy as she goes on stage and invoke the stage presence of her mother, right? Like, it's just so crazy to see. And she's killing it. And she's putting all those fucking naysayers and everything that they've said about it, she's putting that shit to rest. I'm like, did y'all see how she went out there and killed it? We seen from the Renaissance, right, how she went out there and she was very nervous. And she went out there and she did a little yang, yang, yang. And that was cute, right? And we seen over time as she got better, her confidence grew. And by the end of, toward the end and legs of the tour, of the Renaissance tour, we seen her kind of like, oh my gosh, she's gotten so comfortable. You can tell even from there, she's gotten even more, like, comfortable on stage where her confidence is growing. So she has so many segments. I think one of my favorite, well, I actually have two. of her solos. Now, mind you, Blue Ivy is like an official dancer for this tour. Like, she's not just in solos, like, have her own solos. Like, she's in like segments of this tour where she is a main dancer. Like, you see her literally behind B, which is crazy, right? So it's just so exciting to see that. But her main, main solos is America Has a Problem. She ate that up. I remember when we were first seeing it, I was looking at Marcus and screaming like, bitch, I cannot believe, is that motherfucking Blue? Because we really couldn't see who it was because of course, the angle from whoever live we were looking at. They were kind of far, right? And it wasn't as clear. So only thing we see is someone in the front like fucking it up. And I was like, who the fuck is that? And I was like, I know that's not Blue Ivy. And come to find out, it's Blue Ivy. Her other segment was the Deja Vu segment. She gives like this long cat strut. And when I tell you she's walking, now, of course, I've started to see a lot of people saying, oh my God, she's 12. She shouldn't be walking like that. She shouldn't be doing this and doing that. Fuck you. Okay? You talking about the daughter of Beyonce and Jay-Z. Do you think one moment, I mean, this, who, I can't even begin to say how crazy y'all be sounding sometimes. That's that girl. How do you even open your mouth to say that when, look who her parents are. If there was anything vulgar, anything out of the norm, don't you think that, ooh, especially Mama Tina there too? Don't you think somebody would have said something like, look, she's too young for this? No, she is next in line. Clearly, we can see that. This is something that Beyonce herself has said that she wanted. You can go back to old videos of Beyonce. I think that they asked her, would you want your daughter to follow in your footsteps? And I think she said, this is old B. And I think she said, I will let her decide, but I will make sure that she knows all of the hard work that goes into it. And everything, I will give her basically full transparency of what she's getting herself into and let her make her own decision for herself. That's what we're seeing. Blue Ivy's doing her shit herself. She wants to do it. And of course, she has the best guidance that the world has ever seen. Like, bitch, you got Beyonce as your mama. Like, what better guidance do you want? Like, so for people talking about, oh, she's doing this, it's like, shut the fuck up. Y'all just really just be talking, throwing and projecting how you're, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that shit, like, just shut up. So we see Blue Ivy do her solos, and she's a dancer. She's definitely a highlight of the tour. I think another interesting thing of this tour that I want to talk about is that people thought that this was going to be strictly Cowboy Carter, right? Renaissance is in this tour. So there's a segment we go back to the Renaissance, and honestly, let me tell y'all something. I spoke to Will about this, which was very interesting. And he was reminding me that, you know, hey, y'all remember that she did say this is not a country tour. This is a Beyonce tour. So that's number one that we have to realize. Number two, when it goes back to a larger point of how we consume music nowadays. So let's talk about this and dissect this for a second, right? Beyonce, when I seen that she was incorporating she said, welcome back to the Renaissance, and we kind of went back there. That moment, my eyes kind of opened, and it kind of made me realize that I too kind of succumbed to this modernized way that we consume music, which is very ADHD, which is very, if it's not trending, it's not good music. If it's not selling, it's not good music. If it's not on the charts, it's not good music. No, that's not the case. That's what we kind of are living through right now. That's not the case with Beyonce. That's not the case with a lot of artists. Let's be very clear. Not only Beyonce, with a lot of artists. In particular, Meg. You know, a lot of people shit on her. The girl can rap. You listen to the girl be talking shit. Talking shit is kind of like her background because of who she listens to. Pimp C is her, you know, main contributor, who she looked up to. That pimping, that's Texas style. I mean, that's her. She in her bag with that shit. She ain't changing. You know, everybody still have growing to do, which she does too. But at the end of the day, she's true to what her art is. She don't give a fuck about numbers and all that stuff. She ain't letting that dictate her. She keep moving. I feel like everyone should do that. A lot of this shit come from stan base shit, and honestly, beyond stan base, because stan culture has kind of like it kind of moved over into the general masses, where even they, like, if it's not selling or it did this or if it didn't do this or nobody's listening to it, that it's not good music. That's false. Okay. So when I heard of the Renaissance, and when we were looking at the Cowboy Carter tour from the Lives, it made me realize that why wouldn't we hear this? There was a lot of talks that people was like, I don't think they spit. It's not in the country theme. No, y'all. We're talking about the same bitch, Beyonce, who has given us the same iconic dance breaks, the same dance segments for years. You talking about somebody who did Made in America, who did what? Made America, did Global Citizens. Those basically was the same damn shows. Then she turned around and did On the Run 2. And best believe we seen some of the same shit in that tour that we seen during that festival performance. We seen some of the same, and one thing I will say, we ain't seen it yet. Whew, but I did not see Run the World yet in this segment. Woo, y'all want to talk about, now take that song for example. Beyonce has been performing that damn song when we don't want to see it for years. So that's old material, right? The Renaissance was only like 2 years ago, y'all. 2.5 years, what's going on, 2.5, 2 years ago. So it's like when I actually heard that, I was just like, wow, like, why wouldn't we hear this? It made sense. I don't know why I was kind of like in this mindset of like, we're probably going to get anything Renaissance, when actually this is act two. It makes sense for her to do it because it's a three-part act. So imagine when we get act three, we're probably going to get the best performances of act one, Cowboy, which is Renaissance, act two, which is Cowboy Carter, and whatever this act three is, probably majority centered around that. So we're going to get a combination of all three. So it just made sense. And it's like, damn, you know, Beyonce does this all the time, going back to consuming music. Mind y'all, Cowboy Carter was released a year ago. She really gave us this damn album and told us to sit with it for a damn year, engulfed it, listen to it, sit in it, ride in it, listen to it while you're in the damn gym. And as we seen, the whole world has went motherfucking cowboy, cowgirl. So her influence in what she does is kind of like just kind of crazy. Even taking it back to Renaissance, right? Everyone went motherfucking sequin, silver, crazy. Now everybody has converted into denim, cowboy boots, chaps, French, cowhide, all this shit. Cow hats, spurs, all this shit. And it's just so like, wow. Like, so all the Beyonce haters, they be just talking shit. I just like, y'all don't be understanding. Y'all not in tune with what the fuck going on. So I'm predicting that act three will be released sometime next year. So if you follow this pattern, when she released Renaissance, she released it at the beginning of the year. She basically let us sit with that shit. After the tour wrapped up, we go into the holidays, we come into the new year. We already kind of speculating, and people start speculating about Act Two, Cowboy, the country album, and then beginning of that year, we end up getting the album, right? So Cowboy Carter has been out for like a year. Now we're entering the tour. My prediction is that once this wrapped up, because the tour is very, very confined this time around to US, that she's going to release Act Three sometime the beginning of next year. And we're probably going to sit with that for some time. And then we'll get a year, another tour in the next, 2 years, maybe. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that all that to say is that when we consume music, I think Beyonce has done a fantastic job of saying, without saying, y'all gonna get this music when I give it to you. And when I give it to you, y'all going to sit with it. And it's so much effort and it's so much thought and artistic expression that goes into what she does, that you can't just listen to this and go on to the next, right? And so you think about the music that we have today, a lot of stuff is, you know, a quick little bop and then we move on to the next bop, right? No one, there's very rare people who are actually making songs that mean something, that are rapping, that are singing, that are talented, right? There's a few, but even with those, the mass still don't give those people their justice and give those people, you know, their recognition as the type of music that they make. So I just think that people should. I'm a big music lover of all genres as well. So I do listen to a whole lot of old music. But if you really think about it, and when I say old, like 80s, 90s, 2000s, definitely 2000s. But if you ask me something that was released in the past like 5 years from some of these people, I done forgot about that shit. I really have. Like, I listen to a song like, damn, I forgot about this song. Right? And it was a cute song, but I forgot about it. So the way we consume music is just kind of crazy to think about it that way. And, you know, Beyonce, true classic fashion, is going to always remind us, no, y'all going to keep getting this shit, because this, y'all going to keep getting these dance breaks. You're going to keep getting this music. You're going to keep, you're going to sit with this shit. So I'm just so excited she's back. Like I said, me and Will and my mom are going to the concert in July. This is going to be her first time. And y'all, I'm trying to tell her, like, girl, whatever boots you got, you might want to get them and break them in, because, or you might want to pack you some flats, because I'm telling you, this is Beyonce concerts is not for the weak. You on your feet. First of all, you got to get there. It's going to be July. It's going to be hot. You got to get there, and depending on what people going to have on. I don't know what she got, what she wearing, but I know I'm wearing. I'm being with my mom, so I got to be respectful, but I'm going to wear less clothes as possible. So, you know, it's going to be a moment. And I'm trying to tell her, y'all, oof, be prepared. Be prepared to walk. Be prepared to scream, yell. Be prepared to, like, be depleted when you leave this tour, because she's going to take everything. She is going to get you hollering. She's going to get you moving. She's going to get us dancing. So I'm very excited to have her go with me and Will. She's going with the best people, because honestly, a Beyonce tour, I hate to see us two coming. I'm going to tell y'all, me and Will have been through some, we done seen some shows together and individually, and respectfully, I know Will has gone to the Miss Carter tour as well when he did the pit, and he'll tell y'all, I'm pretty sure he done told y'all, he didn't touch the damn knees. I ain't never touched her. But I've been up and close and personal. I've made eye contact, got a wave. Like, we done had our share of experiences. So, like I said, they hate to see us coming, because when we come, we coming. They coming. Some quick updates. Again, the announcement for the first episode should be out soon. One thing that we are trying to encourage, if you are a listener, feel free to DM us. Make sure that you show the page some love. We're trying to get our interactions up. We're doing the best we can in this ADHD society where things have to be consistently put out every day for people to actually see things. But if you know if you're an active listener, show our page some love. Comment, like, share. All of those things really help us out to get more people to view us. And if you've been listening to us since day one, I really do appreciate it. But I'm very excited about this next season. This is Shaq saying that you will see and hear more of me. So I just want people to understand that it is on top of maintaining, you know, one or two, I want to say about 3-4 jobs between me and Will, right? So definitely thank you for your support, and definitely check out our episode 1 of season 2 coming out soon. Thanks, guys.